Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see everybody that's here this morning. I hope you've had a blessed week. You got here safely, we see. There are others who chose to stay home this morning for various different reasons. Some are sick. Some didn't want to get out with this freezing cold. So that's fine, too. But want to say welcome to those who are on all of our social media platforms, whether you're on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us. Do all those things. Click the notification bell there on the YouTube. That'll just help to get the word out. It'll also remind you when we go live. So be sure to do those things. Welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming at home also. We want to welcome you too this morning. And if you need that number, see me after the service. I'll be glad to give that to you after the service. Or you can call the church office and we'll be glad to share that with you. If you have access to our church website, go to hollandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin. So be sure to get one of those this morning in person. They're at the doors. There's some in the windowsills here to my right and left. So be sure to grab those. Also, want to encourage you to download the children's worship bulletins. We will have children's worship this morning, so you'll be meeting over here to my right in just a little while. Brother Michael will let you know when that is. But you can download this also under that info tab. You can share that link. You can use that as an outreach to share with other people. And then also don't forget your prayer list is under that info tab. Be sure to download that and be praying for those individuals on your prayer list. So welcome again this morning. If you're a guest here this morning, want to make sure that you pick up one of the guest bags that are on the sides of the stage or at the doors as you leave. They're out here in the hallway on the table. If you brought a guest, make sure they get one. It's got some information about our church in the bags. It's got some gifts in it that we want to give to you to say thank you for being here with us this morning. So it's good to have everybody that is here. Brother Mike, come and lead us in our first song.
Good morning, everybody. I know you've just probably sat down, but why don't we stand again and praise the Lord, singing "Have Faith in God," hymn 405. Excuse me. Shall perish, he rules, he reigns. Have faith in God.
All right, well, you know in your bulletins there, this is our missionary moment of the week. You've got that in your bulletin. I want to encourage you to read the story there of Joshua Kim and Lisa Lee and their family serving in Surrey, British Columbia. God is using them as he leads the Follow Church there, planted after a deep burden for those who had left the church and those who didn't believe in Jesus. And so initially, it started as a Korean church, but they're reaching many more people than just that. They're doing a lot of the same types of ministries that we are also. You'll notice Awana is one of their ministries they are doing. And so they've asked that we would pray for their family, pray particularly for their spiritual, physical, and mental health of their three daughters. And then also below that, you'll see the prayer request there for our missionaries in Moldova. So we want to uplift all of those in our prayers this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for the Lees. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for this family that is serving in British Columbia, Lord, and the church that they have planted there. Lord, you had greater plans than what they could have ever imagined as it started as a Korean church, but is reaching many more people than just Koreans. And so, Father, I pray that you would bless them in their efforts to share the gospel there throughout British Columbia. Lord, we pray that you will provide for their every need, answer the requests that they have there, be with their family, and just protect them and guard them and encourage them, Lord. We pray especially for, particularly for their three daughters, for their spiritual, physical, and mental health, and we just pray, God, that you will be glorified and honored in their hearts and their lives. Lord, be with our missionaries in Moldova, and we just continue to pray, God, as you open up opportunities there through digital ministries that they're doing, through the continued partnerships in the villages there, and also looking for future sites for services, for churches, for ministries. And Father, I just pray that you would have your hand upon them also. Be with all of our missionaries who are serving around the world and across this nation that we support every Sunday through our tithes and our offerings. So bless our tithes and our offerings this morning, as a percentage of our tithes go towards supporting those missionaries on the field. And we just pray, God, that you would bless them, open up opportunities as they share the gospel. And we just pray, God, that you would help us to be a blessing to them. Be with us as we come to worship this morning. Lord, we pray for those who can't be here with us, those who are maybe sick at home, those who couldn't get out for the weather. We thank you, Lord, for those who are here. And we just ask a special blessing upon each person who is joined with us this morning, whether in person or online. We ask, God, that they will hear your voice speaking to them. They'll sense and feel your presence where they are. And we just pray, God, that you will be glorified and honored as we leave this place this morning to go forth to do what you've called us to do, to share the good news of the gospel and to disciple those who are believers. So bless our service this morning. We give you the glory and the honor for all you're doing. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me just encourage you again, if you're at home there and you have access to the church website, go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab there, and you can do your online giving. You can do that from here in person on your phone also. So I encourage you to do that. You've got offering envelopes in the pews in front of you that you can put your offering in and just place it in the offering plate down here at the front. We have them at the doors also on the tables. So I encourage you to take the time to do that. Don't forget to continue giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering to help us to reach our goal there. We've not quite reached that yet. You'll notice in our bulletin that our year to date so far is $6,240. Our goal is $8,000. So we're a little less than 1,800 away from that goal. So I want to encourage you to continue giving. Also, just want to remind you about our Wednesday night schedules, because that's during the week. If the city schools get canceled for weather, we don't have our Wednesday night supper. We don't have Wednesday night Awana. We don't have our Wednesday night nursery. We may or may not have our regular Wednesday night service with the adults. So just keep abreast on our Facebook group. If you're not in that, go ahead and search for that online, and you can request to be a part of that group and encourage you to do that, because we do post on there when we have those kinds of things that happen. And so you'll be able to get the word there, as well as we'll send out the call outs and those things. Also want to remind you of the upcoming Bible studies that begins today with our women's Bible study. We are still beginning today. Okay. And that's also on Tuesday. You'll notice the information there on the screen. It's also in your bulletins. Can they still sign up? Yes, if you still want to sign up, Ms. Rima says, you can still sign up. I know she's got some books down here on the front. She may say a little bit more about this later, but just wanted to remind you of that. Don't forget the YouVersion Bible app that you can go on. Search for that on the App Store, the Google Play Store. We have our new Bible reading plan up for the year, reading chronologically through the Bible. And so I encourage you to do that. It's just a real easy way to help you to take that time to spend in God's Word. You just find that on the App Store. You download it. You search for your church. Once you search for our church, which is one of the few churches in this area on there, you click that as your church, and then when you do that, it'll automatically pop up to show you what our Bible reading plan is for this month and the next. So I encourage you to do that. We're also got a Bible study that's going on that Mark Puckett is teaching. It's at our association office. It's called Between the Testaments. It's looking at that time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and so he's leading that on Thursday evenings at 6:30 for 9 weeks. Encourage you to take the time to make yourself available for that if that's an interest for you. Also, don't forget the scholarships are due coming up on the 20th. That's want to remind you of that, and that's the only reason I'm going through so many of those, because we have so many who did stay home and don't have your bulletins before you. And don't forget that the chili cook-off, the sign-up deadline for that is the 22nd. That's going to be February the 1st, so make your plans to come for that. Get in the competition for that, 5:30 to 7:30 that evening. And then the other two things that I wanted to mention to you is we do need some volunteers to help on Fridays with the food share ministry that we open our ministry center building up for, the restrooms and water and such. If you would be interested in helping with that, please see me after the services. We'll have a sign-up sheet later on the board. We don't have that up yet, but if you're interested in helping with that, see me after the services. I think I'll be at this door when you go out. And then also, we've got some baskets around at the doors. It says, "Be still and know that I'm God" on one side. On the other side, it's got a 2025 calendar. I want to encourage you to pick these up. Even if you got one personally, take some and give to other people. It's got a little QR code up here in the far right-hand corner that they can scan, and it'll take them to our website where they can enter a prayer request there so that we can be praying for them. So just want to encourage you to use this as an outreach in sharing the gospel with others. Brother Mike.
Sure glad to have a choir this Sunday. We didn't have one last Sunday because of all the snow, and you guys sounded great. And you ought to pray for more, because the more we have back here covers up a lot of my messes. So you should pray for a bigger choir. Anyway, if you would join us now, let's sing hymn 406, "The Solid Rock." Oh, Thank you. Y'all sounded great on that one. Now, Children's Church will be gathering over here on the piano side during this next hymn. And if you would, please stand with us and sing 504, God Give Us Christian Homes. So let's stand. Miss Julie.
God give us Christian homes, oh, where the Bible is loved and taught, homes where the Master's will is sought, homes where with beauty your love has wrought. God give us Christian homes, God give us
Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through verse 4. We continue our series through the book of Ephesians. I've entitled the message this morning, Foundations for the Family. And as I was preparing this week, I thought it was going to be the case that I was going to have to split this one into two messages in this passage. And so that's what we are doing. That's why you see a part one. There we're actually going to be looking at, and I didn't get the right verses on the screen either in that. But it's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through verse 4. We're going to be looking at verse 1 through verse 3 this morning. And so as we read God's Word, I want to ask you, if you will, to stand as we do that in honor of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 down through verse 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you will speak into our hearts. Lord, I pray for our children. Lord, that you would help them to grow up to be godly young men and young women, leading families. Lord, creating a cycle within their families of generation after generation of serving you and following you. But Father, we know that many times that's not the case. Many times we as parents didn't put our priorities where we should have. Sometimes we've given our whole heart to raising our kids the way we should have. And yet our kids have drifted away from the Lord. And so, Father, we just pray that you would speak some words of encouragement into our hearts this morning. I pray that you would not only speak to the children, but you would also speak to those who are parents who are here this morning, and to us as a church by extension of that, in ministering to the families of our church. So bless us this morning, Lord, in a powerful way. May this passage be a blessing to each and every person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So let me ask you this morning, how many children do we have here this morning? Would you raise your hand? Some of you didn't raise your hand. All of you are children, aren't you? Every one of us are children. Not just the little ones are children. So when we look at this passage here this morning, that is a word for us also to know that just because you're an adult doesn't mean you're not a child of somebody, even if your parents have gone on to be with the Lord in glory, or maybe they've passed on. So one of the biggest problems, as we look here at the foundations for the family that I want you to see this morning, one of the biggest problems of the foundations for our families across our nation, and that faces every generation, is found in one word: parents. Parents. It's interesting to note that in the Hebrew language, there are certain words that only appear in the plural. They don't appear in the singular, they only appear in the plural. And when that's true of a word, it's done that way with the intention to communicate a specific message. For example, there's no singular form of the word in Hebrew for the word face. It's plural in the Hebrew. The only word for face is a plural word. It's panim in the Hebrew. That tells us and communicates to us a message that no one has only one face. We all have different faces at different times for different occasions. I'm a father, but I also have the face of a husband. I also have the face of a grandfather. I have the face of a pastor. You gave me a hat with lots of pins on it that show all the different faces that I have at Pastor Appreciation last year. There's lots of faces that each one of us have in different times and different occasions. So that's why that word face is in the plural, because there's never a time that a face is just one singular. It's always in the plural. There's also no singular word in the Hebrew for parent. The word horem in the Hebrew only exists in the plural. Why is that? The reason is because an individual can be a mother or can be a father, and an individual can try to fill both roles to the best of his or her ability, but being parents is really only possible for a couple. The word parent, or parents, we tend to use it sometimes in our English vernacular in a singular, but in the Hebrew, it's plural. You can be a single mom, you can be a single dad, but you really can't be a single parent because in the Hebrew, because parents come in two. And if one or the other is absent from the picture, then you're truly not being a parent. So I want to tell you that there's not a greater need for any child in this world than the need for godly Christian parents. Every child ought to be, deserves to be, reared in a good Christian home. By parents who love the Lord, who read the Word of God to their kids and as a family, who pray with their children, who model the life of Christ before their children. Now, I don't claim to be an expert on parents by any stretch of the imagination. Good Lord knows I've messed up many times in being a parent. We all have. But I do know that the Word of God gives us the expert advice on what to be and what to do as parents. Sometimes it seems to us like raising our children, man, it's difficult. And it seems like as the ages go on and the days go on, the years go on, it seems like it gets harder and harder and harder to raise children in our world today. But here's one thing I want you to know about children, is children can be such a blessing to us. In fact, as a church, children ought to be one of our priorities as a church, because they are the next generation of the church. And that's one of the reasons that as churches across our nation, we aren't growing, is because we delegated that or relegated that or just avoided that. And the world began to pick up that. And the world is pouring into children instead of the church and Christians pouring into children. You know, in today's message, I want to talk about raising children. And in next week's message also, this message is for both children and the parents. So I am going to include some about the parents here. I want you to see that how you as parents can have a profound influence, a profound impact on framing the values of your children. Now understand this, you may be here this morning and you're not a parent, so don't tune out on me. You have a responsibility also, especially as a believer in Jesus Christ, to be a surrogate parent, if you will, a surrogate person who's influencing and teaching the Word of God to and helping these families that are a part of our church to be what they need to be. So understand, parents, that you have a profound influence. You have a profound impact on framing the values for your children, so much so that you have the ability to produce children that have great integrity and purity. So I want to share with you today from a biblical perspective how to do it, but I also want to talk to children, which is everyone who's here this morning, to help you to see your responsibility as children in your families in building the foundations of the family. So first of all, here's what I want you to see. To the children, we're going to look at verse 1 through verse 3. Next week, we're going to look at verse 4 to the parents, in particular to the parents. So neither one of these messages will be totally separated from the other. It's about the family that's so intertwined to one another. And so here's the instruction, the word that Paul gives us here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 through verse 3 to us as children. He says again there in verse 1, he tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So the first point I want you to see is this morning. Be right in your life by obeying your parents. Be right in your life by obeying your parents. For all you children out there, which is every one of us, this is pretty straightforward. The number one part that you play in your family is to be an obedient child with integrity and purity in your heart. That's your number one responsibility in the family, in the foundation of the family. Parents, the first lesson you're to begin to do is to teach your children, to teach them from the time that they're born. Now, you ought to be praying for them before they're ever born. You ought to be praying, even as young people, as you're thinking about down the road, down the future, way out there. We told our kids you couldn't date till you were 30. One of them's taking that advice. The others, not so much. Christopher's getting married later this year. You know, you think about that, and I know parents don't want to think about that, about their kids getting married, but that's going to happen. And kids, you need to think about that. When you're thinking about that guy that you're dating in school, is this a person you would want to spend the rest of your life with? What kind of character does this young man have? What kind of character does this young woman have? And so as parents, you need to be teaching your children from the time that they're born, and you need to be praying for them before they're born. And young people, you need to be praying for your spouse if the Lord leads you to have a spouse, because that's another option there too. God may not want you to get married. God may have a plan for you that doesn't involve marriage. Marriage is not a command in the Bible that you have to be married. You can be a single person and be used by God in His kingdom work. And so you need to be praying for that future spouse also. And so from the time they're born, you need to be teaching them the lesson of obedience. And as you know, children don't come out of the womb obedient. They come out of the womb disobedient. You weren't born and were the golden child that never did anything wrong, that never fussed, that never cried, that never did anything bad. We all came out in a sinful nature. We come out disobedient. Obedience does not come naturally to any of us. What does come naturally is disobedience. Nobody had to teach you to disobey your parents. You just did it. In fact, let's be honest. We don't like to obey. We don't like to obey. Let me say something to all of us. We never get too old to have to obey. We never get too old to be under someone's leadership, under someone's authority. Now, we'll talk about this in a moment, but parents, it's your job to teach your children the difference between right and wrong, and to teach your children to do right and not to do wrong, to act right. You may be getting more and more independent as a child, as a young person. You may be getting more and more independent in your life. You may even rebel against your parents. You may even think that it's cool to try to show your parents who's the boss. I want to remind you that as Christian children, that even the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, was obedient to his earthly mom and dad. Because remember, Jesus was, the Son of God was once a child, once a teenager. But you read about him in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. And Luke chapter 2 verse 51 says this: he went down with them, with his parents, and came to Nazareth. And what does the scripture say about him? He was submissive to them. Now, Paul gives us several reasons why we ought to obey our parents. First, he's saying, because remember, this whole passage, this whole letter is written to the church. This is not a letter to the lost people. This is a letter to the church at Ephesus. He's writing to believers. He's writing to Christians. And so he says here in this first verse, one of the reasons you ought to obey your parents is because you are in the Lord. If you're in the Lord, you know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you are in the Lord. Now remember what Paul said back in chapter 5. The overarching umbrella for this whole section here is found back in Ephesians 5 and verse 21. What does he say in Ephesians 5 verse 21? He says we're to be submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You're to be submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. He's not just talking to the husband and the wife. He's not just talking to the mother and the father. He's talking to the whole family of God. When a person becomes a Christian, you're not released from the normal obligations of life. If anything, your faith in Christ ought to make you a better child in the home. So here's the harmony in the home. We talked about that before with the husband and the wife, the harmony in their relationship. But the harmony in the home is the submission to the other. The wife submits to the husband as unto Christ. The husband loves his wife even as Christ loved the church, and the children obey in the Lord. And then Paul says that obedience, in the second part of verse 1, obedience is right. It's the right thing to do. So there's an order in nature, he's saying, or ordained of God, that argues for the rightness of an action. Here's the implication here, that since parents brought children into this world, and since they have more knowledge and wisdom than the child, it's right that the child obey the parents. Now, some of us as children may be wondering and thinking, well, what if my parents aren't Christians? What do I do then? Do I obey non-Christian parents? Well, as long as they don't ask you to do anything that's ungodly, anything that's unbiblical, and if you follow anything that's ungodly, that's going to be naturally anything that's unlawful. If they're not asking you to do something ungodly, unlawful, unbiblical, then it's even more important for you as a Christian child to obey your parents. Because not only is it the right thing to do, it can be the best way you can be a witness to your lost mom or your lost dad. Now, my mom, when I was growing up, professed to be a Christian, But there was a long period of time in her life where she didn't go to church. And she wasn't living for the Lord the way she ought to live. My grandmother was a good, godly Christian lady. She picked up and started taking me and my two brothers to church with her. And that's how we stayed in church for many years of our life. But as children, young children, whether my mom was saved or not, I'm not an interpreter of and knowing the heart of an individual. I know she wasn't living the way she should have, but I know what happened for me is, in my part at least, I wanted to make sure that I lived out Christ before my mom, that I showed my mom what a Christian was to be, because I didn't know maybe that would be some influence in her life to have her heart right with the Lord. You know, so you think about that. You may be the witness to your lost mom or to your lost dad. Remember this, you're not just obeying the person who is your mom or your dad. You're obeying their position as mom and dad. And when you do that, you're also obeying God, because God is over the whole family. We've already seen that in the order that we've seen previously that Paul has shown us here. So you're obeying God and you're obeying His principles, and that is always the right thing to do. So if you're wondering, what should I do as a child in my family? Obey your parents. Be obedient, be right by obeying your parents. And then secondly, I want you to see that he goes on to say, you need to be respectful in honoring your parents. I don't know about you, but you go to the stores, you go to the malls, you go out in any kind of public setting, you go to the grocery store, and you'll see children disrespecting their family, their father, their mother. There's a difference between obeying your parents and honoring your parents. Look again at verse 2 and verse 3. Verse 2 says, you're to honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. So when you go back to the commandments in the Old Testament that God gave to the people, this is the first commandment that's given that holds with it a promise, that if you do this, here's the promise that will happen for you in your life, that it may go well with you, verse 3, and that you may live long in the land. So there's a difference between obeying your parents and honoring your parents. Obedience is an action you do on the outside. You might obey your parents sometimes on the outside, but the question is, are you obeying them on the inside? You see, when you obey your parents, if you do it grudgingly, if you do it gripingly and complaining and moaning and backtalking, you may obey them, but that is not honoring them. There was a little boy who was misbehaving, and his mother told him to go sit in a corner. We did what his mother told him to do, and after a while, she went to check on him, and she asked him, she said, how are you doing? He said, well, I just want you to know, Mom, I'm sitting down on the inside, but I'm standing up on the inside. I'm sitting down on the outside. You know, you can't honor your parents without obeying them, but you can obey them without honoring them. It's one thing to disobey your parents. It's another thing to disrespect them. By the way, you never, ever outgrow the requirement to honor your parents. You may be here as the oldest person in our congregation this morning, and your parent may still be living. You still have the responsibility, the requirement to honor your parents. You never get too old to do that. We're told to honor our parents. We're to hold our parents in high esteem. We're to treat them with respect, no matter how old they are or no matter how old we are. You know, I've heard one guy that said before on the radio, you know, sometimes we want to tell our parents what to do, but our parents say, hey, I powdered your bottom, and I changed your diapers. You don't tell me what to do. You need to respect your parents. You need to honor your parents. Now, you don't have to agree with your parents on every dot and tittle, but even your disagreements should never come to the place of dishonoring. The verb to honor here is in the present. It's in the present tense. And what that means is that it's an action that never stops. It's an action verb that continues on and on and on throughout all of your life. There will never be a stage in your life where you're no longer required by God to honor your father and your mother. So you ought to never disrespect your father and your mother. You ought to never speak to them disrespectfully. You ought to still say yes, sir, and no, sir. You ought to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. That's one of the things my mom taught us as we were growing up. That's one of the things I'm sure many of you and your parents taught you. And I hope that you've tried to instill those kinds of things into your children's lives. You see, there are two stages in honoring your parents. In stage one, you honor them by obeying them in doing what they tell you to do with the right spirit and a submissive heart. But in stage two, you honor your parents by not doing what they by doing what they need you to do, not by doing what they tell you to do. You take care of them, in other words. You call them. You check in on them. You visit them if you're able to do that. You do for them what they can no longer do for themselves that they need you to do. And so, by the way, they shouldn't have to beg you or trick you into doing that. They ought not to have to try to twist your arm to do that. I heard a story that it was before Thanksgiving one time. This elderly man in California called his son David, who lived over in New York. And he said to his son, he said, I hate to tell you this over the phone, but I'm leaving your mom. He said, 43 years of misery is enough, and I'm out. He said he was shocked, and he just began peppering his dad with questions, asking what could be done to heal things. And finally, the dad just cut him off and said, son, we don't need to talk about this anymore. My mind's made up. If you don't mind, could you call your sister who's in Chicago? Tell her what's happening. I don't want to talk about it anymore. He called his sister. About 5 minutes later, the phone rang at his dad's. And his dad picked up the phone, and it was his daughter. And she said, Dad, don't you do anything until we get there. David and I have talked, and we're both going to be there tomorrow, and we're bringing the kids. The dad said, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. He hung up the phone, turned to his wife, and said, all right, they're coming for Thanksgiving. What do you want me to do to get them here for Christmas? We should never have to try to manipulate our kids to come see. You as a child ought to want to go see your parents. Now, I understand you've got maybe some strained relationships with your parents. Those are some things you need to work on that we're going to talk about even more next week about parents, in particular to parents. But as a child, your responsibility is to honor and to obey your parents. And you're by right obeying your parents and by being respectful in honoring your parents, you're doing what God's word tells us to do. Well, there's a third thing that he tells us here as children. He tells us here to be reverent in loving your parents. Be reverent in loving your parents. I want you to go back to verse 1. It's one of the things we've already alluded to and mentioned briefly. But he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. I want you to pick up on those last three words of that part. In the Lord. Oh, children, obey your parents in the Lord. What do those three words mean? Paul put it this way in his letter to the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. He said, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. What does that mean? Well, when you obey your parents, as we said before, you're obeying God. When you honor your parents, you're honoring God. Now, this is where we have to bring parents back in, because our children won't know the Lord unless we as parents, unless we as grandparents, unless we as a church teach our children those things that please the Lord. You know, one of the greatest questions you could ever teach your children to ask themselves before they start to do something is this one: would this please the Lord? That's a thing every one of us should have as in our heart and our life. Is what I'm about to do, would it please the Lord? They should ask, will this bring joy to the heart of the Lord? Will this put a smile on the face of the Lord? There are basically two kinds of parents, and they're pretty easy to spot. There are parents who raise their kids by looking at the culture, and they see what the culture is doing in parenting. And they just look at what most other parents do. They let Hollywood, they let entertainers, they let children's friends, their peers, dictate how they raise their children. Then there are parents who listen to the Word of God, who listen to Scripture, and they don't take their cues from the modern family. That's becoming less and less the case for many parents, and that's becoming less and less accepted. To raise your children according to God's word. They take their cues, that second group of parents who listen to the Scriptures, they take their cues from the ancient word of God. They teach their kids to take a stand for what is right, to speak up for what is right, to live their life by God's word, not the opinion of others of the culture. So let me say one thing that hopefully encourages some parents that are here this morning or maybe watching online. I truly believe it is a more difficult thing to be a parent today than it's ever been before. It's more difficult being a parent today and raising children than ever before. It's well been said that children are a great comfort in your old age, and they can help you reach it a lot faster. I want to tell you that even the most godly, even the most goodly, if that's even a word, of parents, sometimes have children who just don't turn out good or godly. Sometimes parents who are not godly and not good wind up having children that are good and are godly. In the 17th century, there was a man by the name of Thomas Fuller who studied the genealogy of Jesus, and he found four remarkable things in his family tree. One of the people in the family tree of Jesus is a man by the name of Rehoboam, who was a king of in Israel. He was a bad father. He produced a son named Abijah, who was a bad son. Abijah, he grew up and he became a father, but he was a bad father. But he produced a son by the name of Asa. Asa was a good son. Asa grew up and became a good father. And produced a king, a man who later became a king, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a good son. Jehoshaphat was a good father. He had a son named Jehoram, and Jehoram was a bad son. You can see that all throughout the Scriptures. Good godly people who have ungodly children. Ungodly people who have good godly kids. What's the point? The point is, and now I speak back to the children. At the end of the day, you as children, which is all of us again, you as children are ultimately responsible for the kind of person that you become. Can't blame it totally on your parents. Your parents could be some of the worst parents that there ever were. And they're responsible. We're not sweeping anything they did under the rug. We're not negating anything those bad parents may have done. You may have some of the worst parents that there ever were. They're responsible for what they did and how they raised you. But through the power of God, you can overcome all of that and be all that God wants you to be. So ultimately, you're responsible for the kind of person that you become. Parents, let me say this back to you. Don't ever feel like a failure. Don't ever feel guilty. If you can honestly look in the mirror and say you did your best to be a good, godly parent, if your children don't turn out that way. Don't ever feel guilty. Don't ever feel like a failure. If you did everything that you should have done, everything you could have done to raise your children in a godly home and they still turn out ungodly, don't blame yourself. But children, if you're truly a child of God, you ought to want to be a godly child. No, parents, you can't push a button that guarantees that your children will be the kind of children that are spoken about in this passage. But parents, it is your job to do the very best that you can. A man once argued with the English poet Samuel Coleridge about the importance of parents instructing their children in spiritual matters. And the man said, I just don't think parents ought to indoctrinate their children with religion. They ought to give their children the freedom to make their own choices. Coleridge, he didn't say a word, but invited the man to come out into his backyard to take a look at his garden. When the man walked outside, he said, "That's not a garden. It's just a patch of overgrown weeds." Coleridge said to him, "Well, it used to be a garden, but I decided to give it the freedom to become whatever it chose without any interference from me." I guarantee you, that's what will happen to your children and to your family. Be right, children, by obeying your parents. Be respectful in honoring your parents. And be reverent in loving your parents. And mom and dad, it's your job to be godly parents. If you're here this morning and we were to bring your child up here and say, "Is mom and dad godly parents?" would you want everybody to know their answer? Because kids say the truth. You know, parents, whether you've been the godly parent, you ought to be. Now, we all make mistakes. We're not talking about perfection. None of us will ever be perfect till we get to heaven. But if you're not the godly parent you ought to be, this is what you need to do this morning. You need to come to this place of repentance and forgiveness before God and to say, "God, I have not been the parent I need to be. Forgive me for my sin." You ought to get things right with God. That's first and foremost. But once you've gotten things right with God, you need to get things right with the family. You need to admit to your wife, to your spouse, or to your husband, "I've not been the mother or the father that I needed to be for our kids." You need to tell your kids, "I'm sorry, I wasn't the dad I should have been. I wasn't the mom I should have been, or I am not it right now." It's your job to be godly parents. Children who are here this morning, it's your job to be good and godly children. And the choice is up to you. Love your parents. There's not a person that I would think that's here this morning that's a parent who doesn't love their children. You may not always see that as a child. We may not always think that sometimes when our parents are getting on to us that they love us, but that's the reason they're getting on to us, because they do love us. They don't want us to find ourselves in places that we're harmed bad things happen to us. So understand what he's saying here to us as children and to us as parents. Be right by obeying. Be respectful by honoring. And be reverent in loving your parents. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. There's still yet so much more to talk about in this section, Lord. So I pray, God, that you will help people to hold on to part two. Father, I pray that if they've heard this morning, first and foremost as parents, Lord, that they've realized this morning, "God, I've not been the mom I should have been. I've not been the dad I should have been." Lord, I know there are some people who are here this morning, they beat themselves up all the time. They think they should be some kind of super mom, some kind of super dad, and none of us will ever be that. But Lord, if honestly in our hearts and our lives, we don't try to live that consistent life with you, if we're not even trying, Lord, I pray we would come to that place of repentance to say, "God, forgive me. I want to be the godly parent I need to be. I want to show my kids what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I want them to have every opportunity to grow up, to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and to grow up and be nurtured in their walk with him. I don't want to be the stumbling block or the hindrance that keeps them from coming to Christ. I want them to see that love of Christ in my heart." Lord, I pray there'd be those who would come to that place of repentance to ask your forgiveness. And then that they would take that extra step, Lord, to talk to their family and to admit that before their family and to have those hard conversations, to seek to be all that you would have them to be. Father, I pray that through time and through consistency in their walk with you, that you would change the dynamics of many families, not just here, but around our nation. Father, I pray for all of us who are here this morning, because all of us who are here are children. Some of us, Lord, have not respected our parents the way we should. We've not honored them the way we should. We've not loved them the way we should. We've not obeyed them when we should have. Lord, help us as children to come to that place, to say, God, forgive me for not being the child I should be. And Father, I pray that those individuals who are coming to that place of repentance, maybe there are many of them who are Christians, but there may be many who are here this morning, maybe even watching online, who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, and this is totally even foreign to them. How could they be that kind of a parent? Father, I pray that they would begin with that first step, getting their heart right with you, trusting in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, calling out to you and saying, God, I want to be a godly parent. God, I want to be a godly child to my parents. And I know I need you. I know I've been disobedient because that's in my nature. And so, Lord, I need you to save me from my sin. Come to you and I confess that sin before you. I believe in what Christ did for me on the cross, his burial in the tomb, his resurrection from the grave. Jesus, come into my heart and save me and help me to live for you all the days of my life. And Father, I pray if someone has prayed something like that in their hearts this morning, may they come to profess Christ as their Lord and their Savior and to begin a new walk and a new life with you, to change the dynamics of their family, whether they're a young child or whether they're an adult child. Realizing, Lord, that they've not loved their parents the way they should. Lord, there are some who have grown up in some bad experiences. Lord, we know the suffering and the hurt that they've experienced. We see the scars that are there on their lives because of ungodly parents. Things, Lord, that we can't even imagine that happened to them as children. Father, I pray that you would help them to at least come to this place to realize this is what your word says. And Lord, that they need to honor that position of parent, that position of mother or father, even though that person did ungodly things. Not excusing what that person did, not wiping those things under the rug, but Lord, acknowledging it. That Lord, I realize this is why I am the way I am. I've experienced all this hurt and this pain. And I want to be all that you would have me to be. I have some choices and responsibility to make this morning. I want to honor you by honoring my parents. And Father, I pray that you would bring some forgiveness. It may take some time. It may take days or months, maybe even years. But Father, I pray that you'll begin working in those people's hearts and lives to come to that place, to honor their parents. Father, there's a blessing that goes along with this command. Lord, that we would live long and be prosperous and be blessed in this life. Father, so many of us are not experiencing that because we are allowing sin. We're allowing this to be a stumbling block in our lives. Have your way. Have your will in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand, as we sing our invitation, number 305, I've decided to follow Jesus. Will you come this morning as the Lord lays on your heart?
No turn.
moment, Brother Mike is going to come and share our announcements.
Ms. Rima?
I'm super excited that this afternoon at 4 o'clock we will begin the kickoff for our winter women's Bible study sessions. Even if you have not signed up previously, but you're interested in joining today, just to see if it's something that you want to try to do over the next 7 weeks, please come and join us. I urge you to dress comfortably and warmly, considering how the weather is. We'll repeat the sessions on Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. If the weather seems a little intimidating for you for that day, you may pick up a book from me this morning right after worship, and you can go ahead and get started, even if you don't feel like you can be with us on Tuesdays. Come and join us, ladies. It's going to be a great time encountering God.
Thank you, Ms. Rima. You have something, Matt?
A few things real quick. Camp deposits are due tomorrow for camp. If you know your students is going, but you don't have the money, that's fine. Just let me know, because I'll need to make corrections this week on, you know, if I need to cut spots or add spots. I don't want to be charged for spots if we don't need them. So please just touch base with me, parents. Send me a text. Let me know, hey, I got two going or I got one going, just so I can make sure I have the numbers that I need so that we don't get charged for extra spots. And same thing for Center Kid Camp. You know, just be sure to let me know how many of your kids are going so that we can, you know, make corrections as needed with those spots as well, because Center Kid deposits are coming up due in February. Also, on April 26th, we are doing a car cruise-in fundraiser. And so that's the last Saturday, I believe, of April, and we'll be doing that in lieu of our barbecue fundraiser, but we will have barbecue at the cruise in, so do not fear. You will still have an opportunity to have some of that wonderful barbecue. But the youth are going to be meeting tonight at 5. We need help stuffing 250 envelopes to send out to communities and businesses for raffle prizes. So students, you need a little skin in the game. This is the way you can do that, is help stuff some envelopes. And we will have Band-Aids for paper cuts, so don't worry, you'll be okay. Also, please sign up for the chili cook-off. We have 3 right now, and we need more for a competition. And so we need 3, more than 3 to have a good competition. But you can sign up at the bulletin board next to my office. If I need to move the sign-up sheet to Pastor Jim's office so you don't have to walk as far, I will. But it will be a great time. We'll have chili dogs, and also Centra Kid. If you have a kid going to Centra Kid, bring a dessert. We will also do the dessert for that as well, where we did the People's Choice, where every dollar is a point, and we'll divide that up evenly among those who are going to Centra Kid. This coming Friday, the Toby Mac concert. Youth parents, you know about this. I have about 5 more tickets available, and so tickets are $51.50. So please, if you haven't paid yet, please pay. And if you would like to go with us, let me know, and we'll be sure to save you a spot. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Matt. I want to get you to remember the Stevenson family in your prayers, Miss Susie and the family at the passing of Lee. Just thank you for all of those that took part in the service yesterday. Also, Miss Kay Williams, continue to remember to her. I don't know that I have permission to say a whole lot about her, but I'm going to go ahead and say she's experiencing some difficulty with shingles, and so continue to remember her and Roger taking care of her. Also, we've been mentioning Bethany, our daughter, and the prayer request for some time now. She has a hearing test this week after her hearing surgery that she's had, so continue to remember her. She is showing some signs of hearing this past week, so that's been answered prayer. Also, Miss Imogene has moved from her room that she was in to room 311. Ben, you start your rehab this week. Continue to remember Ben Murray after his cardiac rehab. David Hess has an update coming up this week, we think, maybe, possibly. So we may be hearing more about David and see how his scans are going. Anyone else? Right, Stacy Allison's grandmother passed away this past week sometime, yes. Remember Stacy and her family. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the song service. Thank you for the examples that Brother Jim has put before us. Lord, you as the perfect example of loving Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, that when we take all this to heart, that we realize where we've fallen short, and we all have. Pray that you help us to realign and to recalibrate ourselves into your loving example. Lord, help us to know how to take care of our family and to obey our family members, Lord, our parents. Lord, I pray that you be with us this week and continue to be with the programs that are going on in the church and all those leadership roles. Be with the teachers as they plan even for Wednesday nights at Juana's and for the Sunday morning services and for all that Brother Matt does with the youth. Lord, just show yourself, and we just give you the praise, and we'll talk later. In Christ's name, amen.